Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have David Noble here in the house with us here on Montana Talks. Man, David, it's funny. I've been trying to, stay up with all the news, what's going on in Congress, what's going on in the Montana legislature. I've definitely been a little bit more focused on the state legislature right now because this is a fast-moving 90-day session. The other day, Clinton Bozeman, he was lamenting the fact that in previous legislative sessions, lawmakers had sought to draft like 4,000 bills or something like that. So I don't know if our friend Kyle Schmock was listening or if some of the Capitol reporters in Helena were listening, but I've actually got the numbers now, at least for the state Senate. Kyle Schmock said he's been hearing from some folks who are wondering how many bills have been introduced this legislative session. Last session, there were 566 total state Senate bills introduced. It includes budget revenue bills, but also some resolutions as well. As of 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, 544 Senate bills have been introduced this session, not including resolutions. So anyway, that's just one number that stands out.
So my understanding was there was like over 4,000 like bill requests, but there's a difference between a lawmaker sort of requesting that a bill be drafted versus actually introducing it.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's what Clint was referring to, is that, hey, they had put in a request. They were looking at introducing like 4,000 bills, whereas that actually gets whittled down. And sometimes they'll have a request from a constituent, and so they'll go to legislative services, hey, can you look into drafting this type of legislation? And it may or may not introduce the actual bill. But still, when you think about it, 544 bills just in the state Senate alone. I mean, I've got like half a dozen plus articles in front of me right now dealing with property tax relief, wind development in eastern Montana. There's so much stuff that's happening that it's like, well, yeah, 544 bills. It's like, man, but that's how fast this stuff is happening. And so when a topic comes up, that's why it's so important. Our listeners, our callers, not only jump on it on this show, but also jump on it and get a hold of their lawmakers back in Helena.
Well, for sure, because, I mean, and you're right, with that many bills, it's simply impossible for all the lawmakers to be fully informed on all of those bills. And so what you'll hear the lawmakers say is, I've got my bills that I'm sort of an expert on, and then I've got other lawmakers who I really trust and respect, and they've got bills that they're experts on, and we sort of give each other recommendations on what to vote for, because it's simply impossible to have, I mean, especially when these are big, long, some of them are big, long, complex bills, to read 500 bills, each one, 20 pages or 100 pages. I mean, and to really understand all that is a big ask. And so you do count on your fellow legislators who are carrying those bills and stuff a lot.
Yeah, and then other expert testimony and witnesses who come that have a track record. Like, okay,
that's exactly right.
I can trust the Montana Family Foundation. I can trust Alliance Defending Freedom.
And that
my
stuff
wife works for.
No, and that stuff works. And you're right. Like, if there's a listener out there who hears about a bill, and it's a bill that has to do with farming or ranching, and you're a farmer or rancher, if you go as a farmer and rancher and say, hey, I'm a farmer and rancher, you got this bill on farming and ranching, it's not going to work because of this reason. A lot of times the bill gets changed in the legislature because of stuff like that.
That's right. That's
why Montana Family Foundation is so right when they say this is your government, your input does make a difference.
That's a great tagline, that's for sure.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies for today, high temperatures will range from near 50 over in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, lows from the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. And then on Friday, the outlook calls for more sunshine and highs around 50 in Bozeman, back in the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
It's February 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's National Pokemon Day. marking the anniversary of the Japanese release of the game on this day in 1996. Also on this day in 2020, the Dow Jones Index suffers its biggest points fall in history, closing down 1,190.95 in New York over concerns about COVID-19. 1 year later in 2021, the U.S. gives the green light to the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the third such shot to protect against the coronavirus. Also on this day in 2013, Pope Benedict presents his farewell address to Vatican City. A train crashes into a buffer at Cairo's main railway station in 2019, killing 25, injuring dozens in Egypt. Born on this day in England in 1932, legendary star of the silver screen, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Earlier this week, we had Montana Governor Greg Gianforte on the show, and thankfully, the topic of the Keystone XL pipeline happened to come up. The governor told us about some of the conversations he's been having with the Trump administration, and then later that same day, Donald J. Trump himself weighed in on the Keystone XL pipeline. You can see the tweet, the post on True Social from Donald J. Trump, plus full audio of our chat with the governor. Go to MontanaTalks.com or get it on the app.
Are you feeling?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hi, am I? Minutes here, but we do want to get your phone calls, especially as David Noble joins us here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. See what you want to talk about this morning here, man. So many legislative topics to get to. I want to talk property taxes. I just put a story on our Montana Talks website. Actually, let's start there. All right, so David, I put a story on our Montana Talks website yesterday after the show. It basically kind of was what I was already talking about on the radio all morning long. But, it was my prediction that, yes, the governor and the Republican-controlled legislature will deliver property tax relief. And part of it was me, the media will all day long focus on the infighting in the Republican Party.
Right.
And we've covered that story, too, as we should, right?
Right.
But what's the big picture here? Okay, yeah. Did the governor kind of, take some pointed shots at the legislature? Yes. Did they fire back at him with some pointed remarks? Yes. But at the end of the day, I'm confident that the Republicans will deliver property tax relief. Now, yesterday, one property tax relief measure did pass the state Senate. But I want to caution our listeners. If because you might read that story and say, what? It's only $200 a year. That's just a small slice of proposed property tax relief. That's where they're going to take some of these tourism dollars.
Did that actually pass? Because I thought that got eventually that got shut down because people were the hotels were so mad. No, we want that tour. We want to promote tourism. We want more people. We want more out-of-staters coming into Montana. I thought that got shot down, but did it actually pass?
No, the Montana State Senate advanced this. What Kyle Schmock in his press release is calling here significant property tax relief in a unanimous 50-0 vote on the Senate floor. This was Senate Bill 90 by Senator Carl Glimm out of Kyla. It takes the money collected from lodging taxes to a line item tax credit on Montana resident homeowners' property tax bills. And so
that's amazing. So, yeah. How did they get 50 votes on that? That's great.
Well, I asked Kyle, I said, because so Tracy, one of our colleagues, Tracy, wrote a story about this bill getting passed. So I've got that on our Montana Talks website. I noticed that there were some Facebook commenters who were like, $200? Really? That's all? And I get where they're coming from because, yeah, we need real comprehensive property tax relief. But you know what? We'll take the $200. I just want to tell people that $200, that's just from this one little thing. The homestead property tax exemption that the governor and the legislature is working on right now would be even bigger and on top of that $200 a month. But that's what some of the casual Facebook commenters don't understand. And I get it. That's okay.
Right. No, I mean, nobody understands our property tax system because it's intentionally Byzantine. It's a Leviathan when you really get I look at my property tax bill. I'm like, what is this? Like, what on earth does this mean? I don't understand a word of it.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
It's deliberately done that way,
right,
so they can keep getting more of your money. Yeah. So I asked Kyle, though, for a little bit more about this. As originally drafted, to your question, David, SB 90 would have provided over $400. But the tourism industry and the Department of Commerce came out in force against the roughly 50% of the lodging and rental car taxes they received for state-funded tourism promotion. So basically, they cut it in half so that the tourism people could still get a little bit of money, and then we, the taxpayers, could still get a little bit of money.
So the tourism industry is still the one special industry that gets state taxpayer dollars to promote that one industry. Meanwhile, a lot of our other industries are under attack, or at least were, from the previous governor and the previous president and everything else. So it's interesting when you see the differences there. But I like what you're doing, Aaron, because especially as a conservative watching what's going on in Helena, and you see the infighting, you see the Nasty Nine, and then you see, you know, maybe some of our personal priorities and preferences going down, it's very easy for us to sort of be disappointed or to focus on some of these other issues. And you're right, Aaron. If we get the homestead exemption bill, I'm understanding would be like 15% reduction. And so you take 15% off of, like, I think on like a $400,000 house, you're probably looking at like $4,000 or $5,000 a year in property taxes. So 15% of that's, you know, $750. You add on the $200 or here, you're almost at $1,000. That's $1,000 a year is a significant. And then you look at maybe federal tax cuts and everything else, and you know, that is something to really be positive about and thankful for.
Yeah. But we still do need to focus on, you know, why are there 9 Republicans voting with the Democrats on these things? Because we still need to have those conversations. But the big picture end of the day, I'm confident that the Republicans are going to deliver. There's going to be some things like Medicaid expansion, et cetera, that fall through the cracks for sure. But I'm confident they'll deliver. Hey, let's sneak in a phone call here before we get to our first break, because we got a few calls on the line. Tim in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, gentlemen. So is it time for Montana to adopt a full-time legislature, or at least extend the session so that, you know, you can't have 9 people who completely misrepresent how they're going to conduct themselves in the legislature, derail the entire bill of the Montana people? You know, maybe give their to light a fire under their rear ends and get them set straight, or have time to recall them if they're not going to represent the people that they voted the way they voted.
Yeah, good question. David, is it time for a full-time Montana legislature? Or even, you know, to change his question slightly, some states, our legislature only meets, you know, every other year for 90 days. Maybe they could meet every year for 90 days. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't have that exact same thought as he did, in terms of, especially when you've got that many bills and it's this huge scramble, and you really see the sausage being made, you really realize, man, we could use some more time. However, boy, I'm against it. I don't think we want to change that. It's expensive. We don't want full-time career politicians.
It'd be a lot of money, yeah. And they could spend the off-season actually researching these bills.
And we could just primary the Nasty Nine as well. That's an easy solution.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes 2 full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with 2 children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
In normal times, when a president holds a cabinet meeting, the press is let in for a few minutes, opening remarks, maybe if they're lucky a question or two, and the rest takes place behind closed doors. Well, when President Trump held his first cabinet meeting of this term, the whole thing turned into a television show. It was all on camera. It went on and on and on. Elon Musk was there. And he spoke at length about the DOGE budget-cutting efforts, and some cabinet members questioned him about that. And it was, not surprisingly, what the president likes to do, which is talk and talk and talk. MSNBC cut away after a long period. Then CNN, Fox carried the whole thing. I just feel like if his president is answering journalistic questions, you carry it, period. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The United States Senate Agriculture Committee heard directly from farmers and ranchers this week about the challenges they are facing in the agriculture economy. Among those testifying on the Hill this week was Montana sheep rancher Ben LaFelt, president of the American Sheep Industry Association. He shared firsthand insight on key issues impacting producers nationwide.
Well, we really were happy to have the opportunity to come out and just give a perspective of what our producers are going through in the West. You know, we're dealing with a lot of imports, some, you know, stagnant prices. Wool, we're still trying to get over a pandemic and trade issues with China. We just tried to really give a perspective of what's going on and what we need for producers in the U.S. and the Western Montana, Wyoming, Idaho.
LaFelt shared a few priorities for the sheep industry during his testimony.
Yeah, we really need a risk management opportunity in this next farm bill, and I stress that today. We have no futures markets. We have no risk management for our producers. We need that to stem some of that volatility in the sheep industry, and that's what we ask this committee, and we're going to continue to ask as we move forward. We've got some really great ideas from our folks in the ASI office on how to do that.
He also highlighted the role sheep play in land management.
Across the country, there's so much opportunity with the sheep industry. We've got wildfire control going on in California. That should be front and center in this town.
From Washington, I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, I was talking about the number of bills that have been introduced just in the state Senate alone. And yeah, Clinton Bozeman called in earlier the week, and Clint is back with us on the phone lines. Hey, Clint, somebody in Helena must have been listening to your phone call because, I just got these nice numbers randomly appearing in my email inbox this morning. So what's your follow-up today, Clint? Thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks, Aaron. And David there, he's a lawyer, and I'll explain a few things here. Those were bills requested by the legislators to the legislative services who writes the bills. Now, prior to the legislative services, each senator and legislator wrote their own bills. But during Bill Babcock's, our governor, during his term, he's the one who created legislative services with a budget of about $80,000. Now it's in the millions. But anyway, what he did was to have attorneys, which David is, down there to write the bills that the senators and legislators wanted, what they told the folks in legislative services what they wanted, so that there wouldn't be so many lawsuits against the various different bills. And that's why legislative services was created. But what has happened here, there's been so many people requesting so many bills that the legislature itself has a hell of a time and introducing these bills to the House and the Senate and get them passed, and it wastes our money, Aaron and David. It's a waste of money.
A lot of time spent, and then do they become too reliant on legislative services in the process? Yeah, great follow up, Clint. Thanks for the call, David. Your thoughts?
Well, I was gonna follow up with Clint and ask him sort of what his proposed solution was, but it sounds more like he's thinking kind of get rid of legislative services and go back to having the legislators draft their own bills,
or just stop having them, you know, request so many bills to be drafted. You know, try to limit that down. Like, I get it. Maybe you're trying to be nice to your constituents or somebody reaches out to you, but hey.
But it's clogging up the system, and it's not a realistic bill to get passed and that type of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So I shared the number earlier. Let's see. Yeah, as of 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, 544 Senate bills have been introduced, not including resolutions, and more revenue bills will come later. So the transmittal deadline is a week from tomorrow. And so let's see. Per data reports pulled by Marilyn Miller for Majority Leader McGilvery within the past 24 hours, the Senate is currently well on pace to meet or exceed last session's amount of Senate bills. There were about 60 more Senate bills ready to be picked up and introduced. There are between 200 and 300 Senate bills either already in committee or about to hit committees, meaning, as it always is, the next week heading into transmittal will be incredibly busy because they're going to try to jam everything through in the next week.
Well, I'll tell you this. When this legislative session is over and Senate Majority Leader Senator Tom McGilvray out of Yellowstone County comes back to Yellowstone County and we invite him out to the Yellowstone County Republican Party to give us a recap of the legislative session, that's a meeting nobody's going to want to miss.
I'll tell you what. Well, you know what we should try to do? So they have the transmittal break. It's a week-long break. Now, he may want a break that week, but if he wants to come in here and sound off on everything that's been going on, we should schedule that as well, because that'll be, you know, a show you won't want to miss. Yeah, Tom, what a smart guy he is, huh?
Yeah, and he's got a difficult job up there as Senate Majority Leader, it seems like, from what I can tell from here in Billings.
Yeah, with nine Republicans voting with the Democrats on rules and committee assignments. Yeah, let's sneak in another caller, and then I've got several topics I want to throw at David Noble here in the House. Steve in Ballantyne. What's going on, Steve?
Morning, guys. Okay, apparently when Trump says he's going to end the war if he becomes president over in Ukraine, I think that starts tomorrow. Because when him and Zelensky signed that agreement on the rare earth minerals, that means we got some stake in the land over in Ukraine. So I'm sure that's what's going to pretty much end the war. But my question is I know we try to get government out of our pockets and everything, but, you know, when we take and sign an agreement for the rare earth minerals, it's saying basically that the government now owns the minerals. Is their purpose going to be sell it back to the private sector? But, you know, we're kind of getting back into the government thing again.
Well, I think what President Trump, and David's probably been following the Ukraine news a lot closer than I have been, but David, and Steve, thanks for the call. David, as I understand it, President Trump is saying, look, we have given a lot of our money and our nation's wealth to Ukraine over the years, and so we want a little something for that, and so that's where this mineral deal was brokered between Ukraine and the United States.
Yeah, and it's just a continuation of Donald Trump's America First policy, and it's just so nice to have a president that it doesn't matter if he's talking to Panama or Denmark or Mexico or Ukraine or Europe, he's always asking for something for the American people. Isn't that nice to have a president that actually demands something for us for once?
Yeah, if the Democrats were still in power, they'd just keep the killing going on. The war would keep going on. They'd keep sending them our money and all of our ammunition. That's what I want.
We've got them here. That's the crazy thing. It's like, why are we going after Ukraine and Russia's minerals and everybody else's minerals, and we got minerals here? Actually, we are going. Black Butte Copper coming online soon, right?
Yeah. And it wouldn't have been delayed this long if we didn't have these liberal judges and these radical environmental groups trying to stop it every step of the way. And I don't think, you know, the last Democrat governor wanted to get it up and running either. But, yeah, we got Black Butte Copper mines should be online unless some other liberal judge figures out a way to go crazy and try to stop it again. But yeah, obviously there's some minerals that we need to rely on other folks for, but no, let's get American minerals up and running. Let's get Black Butte Copper. Let's get, you know, the mining near Troy, Montana, and Libby, Montana up and running. Let's get American minerals, but certainly it's good to see President Trump also working on some deals. How this came up was during the Fox News update, David and I were talking about, wasn't it interesting how, you know, President Trump says, okay, I brokered a deal with Ukraine. America's going to, you know, get some of our money back through this minerals deal. And so Trump announces a deal with minerals for Ukraine, and then all of a sudden Russia's like, oh, we'll give minerals too. We'll give you minerals too. And
I didn't see the thing about Russia giving minerals, but
they were offering it. Yeah.
So I don't know if you know, Aaron, my undergrad degree was in international relations, and so we studied war and peace and a bunch of theoreticians about how wars start and how wars end. One of the theories that always made sense to me was basically the only way you ever get a war between two countries to end is when both sides realize that they can't win. If you've got one side of a war that thinks that they can win if they can keep fighting, you can't have a peace deal, because why would a country enter into a peace deal if they think, hey, if we just keep fighting, we can win this thing? And so Donald Trump, of course, Donald Trump has been very pro-Ukraine his entire life. Remember, he was the one that criticized Obama for sending blankets, and he sent javelins. And it was the javelins that Donald Trump sent to Ukraine that really was effective in taking out a lot of Russian armor. So Donald Trump's no some anti-Ukraine, pro-Russia guy, despite the media narrative on that. Mm-hmm. He's very tough on Russia. He was way tougher on Russia in his first term than Obama or Biden, for example.
Which is why Russia never invaded Ukraine Trump was president.
Right. But what I wanted to say, which is what I said during the break, is there's a lot of confusion out there about why is Trump calling Ukraine a dictator? Why is Trump blaming the invasion on Ukraine? Why is Trump doing all this attacking Ukraine and Europe? And here's the reason, folks. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Number one, we have no clue what's going on behind the scenes. My guess is that behind the scenes, Russia realizes we can't win this war. Russia, I think, internally recognizes they cannot take the whole of Ukraine. And so Russia's at the table. Russia's already there. Russia's ready to make a deal. Donald Trump, I think, is having problems getting Ukraine and Europe to the table because Ukraine and Europe think that they can take the land back if they keep fighting. And so Donald Trump is trying to convince them, hey, no, come to the table, make a deal now. You're not going to be able to win this war if you keep fighting.
But yet the Europeans don't want to pay and put up the resources to actually fight the war. They just want us to keep going deeper and deeper into debt. And meanwhile, the body bags keep piling up. I think Trump he's negotiating a big deal behind the scenes.
You can receive a tax break on some home improvements you made last year. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
You won't be able to get a tax credit on all of the home improvements you made in 2024. Only those that have to deal with qualified energy-saving devices. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says there are limits on the allowable annual credit.
Unless you're putting in energy-saving devices that qualify for special credits, there are no special credits for home improvements. You don't get to write them off. You don't get any immediate benefit.
You only get the credit when you sell your house. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so I was scanning the headlines. Man, I meant to ask David Noble about this a half an hour ago. David, I was going to start the show with you by talking about this story. There was a headline in the Missoulian. I don't even think you had seen this Missoulian story yet. But we had a great conversation with David. Was that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I can't remember. We had a great conversation with David Noble. So as you guys know, we have talked a lot on this show about homeless programs, warming centers, and there's good programs, and then there's some programs that may be not as good. Like Missoula is an example of what not to do, if you ask me. You know, where Missoula has created all these liberal programs, and they have just encouraged this transient. I mean, it's like just like we have a problem with the illegal aliens invading our country and our state. Missoula has offered up so many handouts and so many freebies to transients that they've allowed this out-of-state, oftentimes criminal transient element to invade Missoula. And then, you know, you get people that can't even take their kids to the park because there'd be a homeless guy defecating in the water fountain, right? Or doing other lewd behavior that you would normally only find in an NSA chat room right now.
That was going to be, okay, my woke update.
That's your woke update?
That was going to be my woke update with the NSA chat room, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? My goodness. These people, the audio describing what they were talking about in their National Security Agency chat room, and this is over 100 people that have now been fired. These were men who were identified as transgender women or whatever that were talking about chopping off their you-know-what and stuff even crazier and sicker than that. And it's like, I don't even want to play this audio on the radio. And we have John Jackson in here. Even John would be clutching pearls over that audio, I think. You know,
oh,
it's such nasty stuff. But all right, but back to it. So this was the headline. So anyway, but there's been a big debate over the warming center in Kalispell. And I said this at the time. I said, look, whether you agree or disagree with these programs, whether you like these programs, whether you believe they're at fault for area crime or area, Adam Schiff being left on porches of businesses or houses, regardless of whether you like these programs or don't like these programs, we discussed this question of, did the city of Kalispell have the authority and did they strip away the permit for the Kalispell Warming Center in the right way? So were they justified in taking away their permit? And David is actually one of the attorneys. He teamed up with the legal organization to represent the Warming Center to say, no, City of Kalispell, you did not have the right to take away their permit, and you did not provide the justification to take away their permit. And David, it looks like you won. I haven't been able to read the story because I don't have a Missoulian account, but the Missoulian headline that I saw was this: the city apologizes. Kalispell agrees to allow Flathead Warming Center to operate. So it sounds like, the argument you made, which is like, hey, look, they did not have the justification to take away this operating permit. City of Kalispell has officially conceded, is what it sounds like based off that headline.
Well, it's a win for everybody. Kudos to the City of Kalispell for recognizing that we respect property rights in the United States. We respect constitutional rights in the United States. We don't allow the government to violate due process, to violate property rights, to violate constitutional rights. Right. So I think it's a huge win for the City of Kalispell to recognize that, hey, private property rights are important. We respect private property rights. Due process, constitutional rights are important. So that's a huge win there. I will tell you, one of the people that had testified at the City of Kalispell said that he was a security camera guy, and his business exploded around the warming center. They put up security. A lot of the businesses around the warming center put up all these security cameras. Well, you talk about Adam Schiff being left on the porch. What those security cameras show is actually that was a high school kid, not a warming center guest.
Who left the Adam Schiff on the porch?
Yeah, and it wasn't a warming center guest. Some high school kid.
Interesting.
And then all of these other, allegations against the warming center. Supposedly, there's all of these security cameras all around the area, but no video and no evidence and no pictures of any of all of these false. And so when you talk about an apology, the apology is to apologize for all of the false accusations and false statements that were made. And so it's a huge win for everybody. And constitutional rights is important. And the whole issue of, hey, do you like this organization? Do you like that organization? Do you like this business? Do you like that business? Do you like the way these people do things? Do you like the way those people? That's got nothing to do with a different question, which is, hey, if the city government doesn't like your organization, can the government come in and shut you down just because they don't like you?
We're going to take away your permit. I also thought it was interesting that there's a guy who ran as a libertarian in the Senate race.
Right.
Because the Democrats always love to get a fake libertarian to run in the Senate races. It didn't work this time. But even he voted to take away the permit. And I'm like, if you're a libertarian, why would you take away somebody's ability to operate? Because from your perspective, right, the government should have no say on what anybody does on any of their property anywhere, right? I thought that was kind of funny.
I may have called him a fake libertarian once or twice in my life.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, but
I think it's overall a wonderful thing. And here's the deal. Right, like the Flathead Warming Center wants to be. They are a good neighbor. They have rules in place. If any of their guests are doing anything that's a problem for the neighbors, they want to hear from the neighbors, and they'll kick that guest out. They kick any guest of the Warming Center that does anything that's antisocial or a crime or anything else. That's a violation of the occupancy agreement they enter into with the Warming Center, and they're never allowed back to the Warming Center. The Warming Center is a wonderful, wonderful neighbor. They want to work with the city. They want to work with law enforcement. They want to work with the hospitals and the neighbors and everything else. And so the idea here is to be, number one, you don't violate people's constitutional rights and property rights and rip away their permit when they've done nothing wrong. They've not violated any law. They've not violated any condition on the permit. That's a big win. But number two, can we try to move forward in a positive way and work together here? That's the other idea.
I think one of the best bits of feedback, it was a message we got on our Montana Talks app, and it was from a pastor in Kalispell who actually, he said, hey, look, Aaron, I agree with a lot of the problems that people are talking about problems that I also feel we have at the warming center. He said, that being said, we still need it. We still need that service in place. But he made a really good point, which is, hey, why do we have crime happening around homeless shelters around Montana? Well, maybe because we haven't been expanding our jails and our prisons so we can actually put these criminals behind bars. And that was a topic that you and I brought up before, too, which is like, okay, cities and counties, like, yeah, I'm glad you're spotlighting problems in your community, but if we don't have the jail space and the prison space to put the problems in our communities in, then we're going to continue to have those problems. All right, we're short on time here. I want to sneak in another caller before the break. David, I think you'll get a kick out of this. We had, what day was this? 2 days ago. Tuesday show. We had so many messages coming in on the Montana Talks app that I didn't even see some of them till the show was practically over. We were talking with John about the nine Republicans in the state Senate voting with the Democrats on rules changes, et cetera. And I didn't see this message till after the show, but Dave in Kalispell says they are no longer rhinos. They are political drag queens, Democrats dressed in Republican clothing. I just thought that was a funny line from Dave in Kalispell, speaking of Kalispell. So that was a pretty funny line.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see where the Nasty Nine vote on a lot of the other issues. It's, you know, I mean, if they come around, if the Nasty Nine come around and they help us push through some of these property tax relief bills, we'll give them credit where credit is due, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of these nine, you know, I know they're good people. They'll vote conservative on some issues. And then there's some Republicans, even in the House, where it's like, what are you doing? Why are you voting against that? And it's like, they're not a part of the so-called Nasty Nine, as the Freedom Caucus people have dubbed them, but they're not voting like conservatively. And so, but that's where it's like, you're undermining your caucus leadership. And I get it. You want this committee, you want that committee, but just drive on and get the job done. And yeah, but I think on a number of these other issues, I think they'll pull through and vote conservatively. Maybe not the way we would have wanted on Medicaid expansion, for example, but on a whole host of other issues, I think we'll see them come through on those issues. Let's see. Let's sneak in a caller before we get to the next break. Nancy, in Roundup, we were talking about Ukraine and the mineral deal. What's your thoughts, Nancy?
Well, good morning, Montana Talks family and David. I want to go to Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton's new book, The Seven Things You Can't Say About China. And I have been listening to his interviews on different talk shows. And he explains that we must take back the minerals and the microchip business from Taiwan because they stole it from us to begin with. Because when China invades, that's what they're after. And if and when that happens, it will plunge the United States into a depression twice or maybe three times as bad as the one we experienced in 1929, and the rest of the world will plunge, spiral out of control financially also. So this is the reason why it's imperative that President Trump, or why he's really pressuring Ukraine to give us the mineral rights so he can bring the microchip business back to the United States. We're just going to provide thousands and thousands of good-paying jobs.
Great point. In fact, David, you and I were talking about, hey, China is something else that's not being discussed publicly. Nancy just tied it in well right there.
At T-Mobile, our critical mission is providing unparalleled 5G coverage for when connectivity is mission critical. Introducing T-Priority, America's best 5G network experience for first responders, even in times of congestion. More capacity, faster speeds, better coverage. T-Priority from T-Mobile. Built for tomorrow's emergencies. Ready today. Discover more at t-priority.com.
For qualifying organizations on eligible rate plans, coverage not available in some areas and may be impacted by emergencies.
Fox News commentary.
Anti-ICE activists are actively endangering the lives of our brave and noble immigration agents, and it should be treated as treason. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
every hour of every day. Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
We knew as soon as borders are, Tom Homan gave his ICE agents the green light to actually enforce immigration law, there would be idiots trying to stop it. But this latest tactic, happening mostly in the L.A. area, goes beyond blocking traffic or waving Mexican flags. This is treason. Anti-ICE activists are actually tracking ICE agents, stalking them, really, and disrupting their work. And they aren't just random people doing it, either. They are coordinated groups who have set up organized patrols to locate ICE activity and thwart it. And worse, other anti-ICE thugs are not only stalking the agents, they are doxing them and putting their names, faces, phone numbers, and even addresses out there. These agents are already risking their lives to arrest and detain criminal illegal aliens, many of whom are violent gang members, and now this? Send them all to Gitmo for treason. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. West sunny to partly cloudy skies for today. High temperatures all range from near 50 over in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies. Lows from the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. And then on Friday, the outlook calls for more sunshine and highs around 50 in Bozeman, back in the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com.
Tonight, stay at the DoubleTree Inn Hotel. Contact us today at billings.advertising@townsquaremedia.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I told David Noble, I said, man, sometimes he'll come in full-blown suit and tie on and everything. You know, he's like freaking Justin Timberlake as long as he's got his suit and tie. He's ready, and that's when he's got to go to court or some big fancy lawyer meeting or something like that. But today, he's got jeans. He's a little more casual. I was like, hey, looks like you got a slower day. Maybe you can stick around for the 8 o'clock hour today. So you want to stick around a little bit for the 8 o'clock hour?
I'll stick around for the 8 o'clock hour, but I will have a very busy day after that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's see. This is a question from Greg in Big Fork. So, a little backstory. Did you hear Speaker of the House Brandon Lear with us on the show yesterday? So he's got a bill that would stop nonprofit organizations from owning or leasing state lands. And we had a great question from one of our listeners saying, "Well, hey, if I'm a member of a, you know, North Shore Nordic group that, you know, has cross-country skiing trails, would that block us from being able to use that state land or do that?" I know it won't block groups from using that land, but what I wonder is, do some of these groups lease the land in order to have the trails?
I would assume you don't need a lease in order to go on the trails. Now, if you're going to go build trails on state land, maybe you would need a permit or a license. But like a lease is for like, hey, no, I own every aspect of this ground for the term of this lease. I can run my cows on this ground, and nobody else can come on this ground. And that sounds a little bit different, but I thought Brandon Lear's idea was good in the sense that, like, look, hey, we want productive uses of our state lands, and we want people that are on our state lands and leasing them to be paying taxes. And the simple fact is, as a matter of law, these nonprofits, like American Prairie Reserve, they're not paying taxes, and they're taking all that land out of production. That's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
yesterday I was talking about how, look, I'm confident the Republican legislature and the governor will deliver some pretty significant property tax relief. Still not going to be as much as you and I might want. I was just talking with Mark and Paul down the hall. And, yeah, what we really need is we need to cap property taxes to where they're based off of what you purchased your home for, not on the value of your home. You know, to me, that's an unrealized gains tax. But the point that I made yesterday was like, isn't it funny how, you know, the state's going to figure out a way to lower our property taxes, but the cities, oh, how are they ever going to figure it out? You know, the Gazette had this story about, oh, the cities will be left scrambling. Why are they scrambling? They should be figuring out a way to lower our property taxes right now, too.
We need a doge in the city of Billings to go into the city of Billings budget. And how much waste have we seen the city of Billings do with all the different stuff they've done? It's like, don't tell me you can't cut anything out. We need a doge in the city of Billings big time.
Jennifer Owens gotten a pretty good start. She's been doing some of that. She's gone in and said, hey, wait a minute. How about if we take this $7 million and direct it to public safety instead? So I had one of our listeners messaged me on the Montana Talks app and said, levies are necessary because the cost of education is going up like everything else. Same with safety levies. What do you propose we do to pay for those necessary services? The city and the school districts are getting more of our money every single day, every single year. They need to budget for things in the schools. They need to budget for public safety. But instead, no, they spend all this money on all this other stuff. And they say, well, if you want public safety, you're going to have to give us more money over here. It's like public safety last. That should be first priority.
Right. No, the city should take, hey, we've got all this money in our budget. Number one, we satisfy all public safety needs. Number two, we deal with parks. And you know, number three, okay, what do we have left over to deal with other stuff? The way that this seems like they're doing it is, hey, let's make a city-funded bathroom. Let's do a Skynet thing. Let's do an art installation. Let's do this. And then, oh, sorry, we don't have anything left over for police. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's exactly. And I know that's what Jennifer Owen and Scott Aspenlider and others on the city council are trying to do. By the way, speaking of schools, Billings folks in particular, you have got to get some good school board candidates, from what I hear, for those upcoming elections.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that has been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.